Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be back.
Yeah, when he was young, he was
my wife and I spent a week in Los Angeles, where we were guests of the Religious Zionists of America. There are only a few Religious Zionist rabbis left in the world. I'm one of them, and Rabbi Adler is the other. So I was invited to be the guest speaker at the Yom Yerushalayim dinner, and it was very beautiful. There were over 500 people there, and I didn't let you down. I didn't embarrass you. It was not bad. All right. If you email with friends from Los Angeles, you'll find out more. And then I spoke in some of the schools, and I spoke in two of the schools, the boys' school, the girls' school, said a shiur in a shul, and said a drosh in another shul. Anyway, let's say that they kept us very busy. And most probably we will suffer from jet lag for about another month or two. It's a long journey, but we're of course happy that we went and things worked out well, and we're certainly much happier that we're back here. And all that I've heard from people about Yom Yerushalayim here is that there was a downpour. Yerushalayim was rained out, I have to tell you. Los Angeles, the after the morning mist burned off, it was very, very sunny in Los Angeles. But I'll tell you, I did meet a very, very interesting woman who told us that she says Shir HaShirim every day. She says Shir HaShirim every day. By the way, if you say Shir HaShirim often, you'll see it'll take you no more than 10 minutes to say, 10, maybe 12 minutes to say Shir HaShirim. So now, what we're going to do this morning, and by the way, I see Mrs. Felix is here, and she I want you to know that her husband, Yehuda Felix, Olav HaShalom, was the genius, the great Tarshan of nature and Tanakh. Every flower, every animal, he identified. It's absolutely awesome. His Perishan Shir HaShirim is awesome. And one of these days, you know, when I get them all straight, maybe we'll have some kind of a nature fest with Shir HaShirim. It's an outstanding, outstanding work. But first you have to know the text of Shir HaShirim. So now, we're going to do something a little strange. You have this, by the way, it's three sheets you have together, and turn over to the back, and start it from the back. I found in a safer, and this just take a moment, what's so special about learning or saying Shir HaShirim? Maybe this will encourage you a little bit. And there's a list, Sgulotei HaShel Megillot Megillat Shir HaShirim. There are certain, something very special, treasured aspects of Shir HaShirim. First they bring the Gemara that says somebody who sees Shir HaShirim in a dream should look forward to great piety. Now, you don't see Shir HaShirim in a dream unless you say Shir HaShirim, you think Shir HaShirim, you become totally immersed in Shir HaShirim. The second is that a lot of this is very esoteric, and of course as we get into Shir HaShirim you'll see why. Through Shir HaShirim, Mashlech HaAdam Yolav Zuhamat HaNachash, the impurities that came upon mankind because of the first serpent, there's a certain evil that entered into man, and that's cleansed by saying Shir HaShirim, and a person is able to understand on an even deeper level the wisdom of Torah. Now the next one is very important. Somebody who needs a shidduch and reads Shir HaShirim 40 days in a row with Kavana stands a far, far better chance of getting a proper zivus. You know, they say about going to the Kotel for 40 days in a row. I think that saying Shir HaShirim 40 days in a row may even be, you know, easier. Not everybody can get to the Kotel every day. Kol HaKotel B'Kavon B'Shabbos. Anybody who reads Shir HaShirim and knows what they're talking about. On Shabbos, Nitzol Midino Shel Gehenim is saved from Gehenim. That's it. Shir HaShirim will stand there and protect one from the punishment of Gehenim. The Shamanu Mipi Zikna Yerushalayim, we heard from the elders of Yerushalayim, Shekriyas Shir HaShirim Skul L'Refuah. Somebody needs a refuah, somebody is ill, and when you say it for a chola, kishemavakshim al chola, you want, you're praying for a refuah for somebody, then the elders of Yerushalayim said the way to do it is to say Shir HaShirim and pray for somebody's good health. V'hosef b'likute Moharan, in the collected writings of Moharan, Moharan is Rav Nachman Mibreslov. Rav Nachman Mibreslov writes, Ki kol ha-refuas klulu b'shir HaShirim, the refuah, the healing of all illnesses, finds its source in Shir HaShirim. V'odev sheyomru kodem or hayom avur oto chole. Rav Nachman Mibreslov said to say it before dawn and have in mind for a particular chola can be of great aid and assistance. Kol adam shiyomer Shir HaShirim b'chol erev Shabbos kodesh b'ne'imo b'zimra. Any person who says Shir HaShirim every erev Shabbos with sweetly and with song, is guaranteed that all of the averus that he did during the week are going to be forgiven, atoned for. Habikubalin, those who study Kabbalah, we're talking about real mikubalin. We're not talking about the mother, the style of everybody. Everybody all of a sudden has become a big expert on Kabbalah. Understand? The Mekubalim would say Shir HaShirim before they began to study the secrets of Torah. V'zot machmat sheskulato l'fkoach et ha'inayim b'havon ha'sisrei Torah, because Shir HaShirim has the property that it opens up one's eyes so that one can understand the secrets of Torah. So in other words, it means for a chole it's good, for a zivug it's good, forgiveness from sin. I mean, there's so much that is included in this Shir HaShirim. So, I mean, my job over here is to, over the next few weeks, give you entree into Shir HaShirim, and then, you know, you start saying it. As I started a few months ago learning it, and I said it and said it, and all of a sudden. What's the difference? That's too much for me. I can't answer. That's beyond my ability. I understand what you're asking.
Yeah.
You're asking that, you know, for a chayla, you say tilim. So it seems that this is already in the world of the esoteric and the hidden. I can't.
You have to do both.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And nobody ever said that that we just set Tillam aside. But there's something beautiful. Maybe there is something beautiful about trying to have Shabbos ready 10-15 minutes early and before candle lighting, or immediately after candle lighting. In Yerushalayim, you have a lot of time after candle lighting. In Yerushalayim, right after candle lighting, everything is ready. The chicken is on the platter, the soup is in place, everything's ready. And you sit down and say Shir HaShirim, and then go to shul, or, you know. Yes?
The question on that is the Father, isn't it something about the Gidah?
Ah, very good, very I'll tell you what she asked. The Gemara says terrible things about somebody who uses the words of Shir HaShirim as a song, makes a song out of it. Because that is destructive. And you know when you can understand that? After this year, and maybe after the year following, you will understand what the significance of Shir HaShirim is. Any thought of using it in some kind of a secular way, or something that is not truly sacred, is an absolute destruction, a destruction of the whole significance of Shir HaShirim. And anybody who does that is treading on very dangerous ground. When it's said over here to say it in the ima ubezimra, it means to sing it beautifully, not to say Shir HaShirim. To sing it, not to say it as though it's something burdensome that you just want to get it over with. And it can be very beautiful. That's my task. That's my charge. I better succeed. Now, let's go to... Now, you have to follow me. Turn over this page, the back page, and we're going to what says page number 4. You'll see it says number 4. Alright? Number 4. Alright, so you have to understand that there are certain similarities between Megillat Shir HaShirim and Megillat Esther. Some of these similarities are only ostensibly so. We will see not really so. Megillat Esther does not have the name of God. You're going to go through Shir HaShirim and looking at it superficially, there is no name of God in Shir HaShirim. One can make the absolutely tragic mistake of thinking that Megillat Esther is a very beautiful love story. King falls in love with a beautiful Esther, and therefore Esther with her beauty is able to save the Jewish people, and everybody lives happily ever after. Of course, which would be completely destructive of Megillat Esther. Neither one of the two are love stories in the way in which we normally see it, but I'd say the following. We're going to see right away that listen carefully. Megillat Esther, God's name does not appear there. But you know what our job is? Our job is to find God in Megillat Esther. Our task is to be Megaleh, to reveal the hidden one who stands behind all of the events of Megillat Esther. The one who's moving everything. The one who is determining what's going to happen. The one who is not only the prime mover and the creator, he is the one who is also involved in Jewish history. And everything that takes place in the Megillat Esther, God is hovering over it. And because of that, we have to find God in the Megillat Esther, and therefore it's called Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther means to reveal that which is hidden. And when we realize that it is God who is the prime mover and actor in Megillat Esther, then of course there's a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Chanukah and Purim is Pirsumei Nisa, to make known that a miracle has taken place, a miracle which is the act of God. In Sefer Shir HaShirim, in that Megillah, it's God who seeks out the Jewish people, and the Jewish people who seek out God. They are both moving in the direction toward each other. The first part of this year is going to be dedicated to one idea. And we'll see at the bottom there's a footnote from a powerful, powerful essay of Rav Soloveitchik called Ubikashta Misham. And it's based on these two Rambams. The Rav is going to come to a point where he says, in Shir HaShirim, There is no pshuto shel mikra. I'll explain. In all of Tanakh, there is the simple meaning of the text, and then there's the allegory. In Shiras, you know, what does it represent? What does it mean? What's it trying to tell us? And Rashi throughout Chumash will always tell you, Vanilo Bapi El of the Farish, I've come to explain Pshuto Shel Mikra. The simple meaning of the text has to have real, real significant meaning. And in addition to that, there are all sorts of other meanings that the Torah Shabbat, the oral law tells us, is involved in each one of these psukim. The Chavim is going to say, in Shir HaShirim, there is no Pshuto Shel Mikra. Sure, it's a story. It's a story of the love between a king in Yerushalayim and a girl from Ein Gedi, or a shepherd and his beloved. But that's not the story. That's not the story. There is no such story. What it really is the yearning and the longing and the profound love of God for the Jewish people and the Jewish people for God. And this relationship is going to have its ups and its downs. There are going to be times in history where there is a distance between God and the Jewish people. There are moments at which we will feel a closeness in. That's the whole story of Shir HaShirim. There's no Pshuto Shel Mikra. Now watch. Rambam number one. The Rambam is at the end of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says, Ha'oved Mi'ahava. There's a mitzvah of Yohavta Hashem Elokecha. Love God, your God. How do you serve God with love? You know how you do it. How do you do it? Osei petoro b'mitzvus v'holeich b'netivot ha'chochma is a person who's involved in Torah and performs mitzvahs, and he goes in the way of wisdom. Lo mipnei dover ba'olam. There is no ulterior motive at all in the world. Lo mipnei yirat ha'ra'a, not because he's afraid of evil that will befall him, lo kidei lirosh ha'tova, and not so that he should inherit goodness and blessing from God. Ela osa ha'emet mipnei shehi emet. Real love is when one does that which is true because it is true. And that's the only reason why. The sof ha'tova lavov v'glolo, the end is that good will come upon this person because of it. Umala zuhi malagadolam yo, this level is a very great level, the aim called chacham zokhalah, even not all wise men are able to achieve this level. Vimalat avgolavim shakor koroa kodesh baruchu ohavi. That was the level to which Avraham Avinu was able to achieve. God calls him ohavi, the one who loves me. Because he served God only out of love. This is the level that God commanded us through Moshe, Shenema, in Shema, we are after Hashem, we should love God with God. At a time when a man is going to love God, he is going to do all of the mitzvahs out of love. By the way, the Rambam was also in this halacha, the Rambam was also explaining a question that is asked by all of the Rishonim. Ava is an emotion. How do you legislate emotion? Love. Alright, we've now legislated, we've made it a law, love God, and therefore all of a sudden you love God. No, the Rambam at the very beginning of the halacha said, Ha'oved me'ahava, the one who serves God out of love, is osei b'Torah u'b'mitzvos. He's going to study Torah, he's going to perform mitzvahs, he's going to go in the ways of wisdom. And the end is, that's what will ultimately come. In other words, there has to be something real by which this emotion begins to develop, this feeling of Avat Hashem. The Ketzad Hi, now, how next halacha? Listen carefully. The Ketzad Hi Ha'ava Ruya, what is proper love? Hu She Yohav Et Hashem Ava Gedola Yetecha Azam Mi'o, that one should love God, a great, powerful, mighty love. At She Tehin Nacho Kshura Be'Ava Hashem, until his soul is completely burned up with the love of God. V'nimtza shoge be'otamid, and he thinks about it constantly. Ki'ilu chol echoli ahavo, like he is absolutely sick with love. She'in, and here he's giving us the example. If you want to know what is the level of love for God that man should achieve, is like one who is lovesick, she'in datu pnuya me'avat ota isha, that a person's mind is not clear or free at any moment from love for that woman whom he is in love with. And he thinks about it constantly. When he sits, when he gets up, while he's eating and he's drinking. Yet even more than that powerful love of a man for a woman, the love of God should be the love that is in one's heart constantly. The Rambam now gives us the next part of the pasuk. In the halacha before, he talked about the first part of the pasuk, v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, you should love God your God. Now he says, to what extent? To what extent? Kimo shetzivanu, as we were commanded, v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha, with your whole heart and with your whole soul. V'hu shishloma omar derech mashal. Here the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva is going to introduce us to Shir HaShirim. He says, this Ahavat Hashem that is so powerful and so mighty, that's exactly what Shlomo HaMelech was talking about in Shir HaShirim. That's what Shlomo said, Ki chol as ava ani, I am sick with love. V'chol Shir HaShirim mashal hu le'inyin zeh. All of Shir HaShirim is an allegory for this love. That's what it's talking about. There is no love between a, we're not talking about a king and a shepherd girl from Ein Gedi. We are talking about the love of God for the Jewish people, and it's both ways. Not only our Ahava. Remember, God loves us too. At some other place, the Rav begins to list all the places in Torah where it says, Va'ahevcha, God loved you, uveirakecha, and he blessed you. God loves the stranger, ohev ger. And then he says, take a look, in davening, every morning, before Kriyat Shema, Ahavo rabo ahavtanu, great love, you loved us. Baruch atah Hashem, habocher v'amo Yisrael v'ahavo. God chose the Jewish people with great love. There's a great love affair between God and the Jewish people, and it's supposed to work both ways. But like any love, there are moments of great peak and exhilaration, and then there are moments at which there's a distance. Something happens, and the relationship is ruptured. Something goes wrong, and that's the whole story of Shir HaShirim. Now, the next halacha, different Rambam. And this Rambam is the one that's going to define for us Shir HaShirim. When Rabbi Akiva said, and we're going to get to Rabbi Akiva again, we talked in the last year, we talked about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, Kol HaShirim Kodesh, V'Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kodashim. All the songs and poems that were written to God are holy, but Shir HaShirim is the holy of holy. And you will recall that we said the person most able to define for us the sanctity and greatness of Shir HaShirim was Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is the one who experienced all the loves on outstanding and exceptional levels, from his love for his wife Rachel, his love for Am Yisrael. He was the one who led the Jewish people against Rome. And he is the one who says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, ze klal gadol b'Torah. He's the one who said that the great law of Torah is love your friend like yourself. And then ultimately, of course, as Rabbi Akiva is being put to death by Rome, So he says, Kol yamai hayisi mitzdar al pasuk zeh, my whole life I was in pain about this pasuk. V'ahavtot Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. Mosai, when will this pasuk come my way and I will be able to fulfill it fully? And here it is, as they are putting him to death, Yotzon Yishmasa, the Gemara says, his life left him when he said the word Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Rabbi Akiva is the prime example of what love on every level means. Now, next halacha. Kol Hashemot Hamudin BeAvram Kodesh. Wherever you have the name of God, Adon Shem Hashem, it's always holy. It's a real name of God. Now remember, when we say that something is a name of God, that means a sofer, before he writes it, has to have in mind that he is writing this word, the Shem Kedushas, for the sanctity of the holy name. It means, of course, that it's a terrible aveira to erase. You can't erase the name of God. And over here, why does the Rambam tell us about all the names of God that appear by Avram? Avzeh shenemar, also the one that says at the beginning of Parsha Vayera, Avram is sitting at the opening to his tent at the heat of the day, and he sees three barefoot travelers out there. And he goes, he wants to go run to invite them in. So he says, Hashem, im no matzosi chen bi'avdecha. Now I said that first word as Hashem. It could have been understood that he is speaking to the three people whom he wants to invite in, and he says to them, if I found favor in your eyes, can you please come into my house? Or it could be understood that he is telling God, I want to go and bring those guests into the house, and God is already in his tent visiting him. So he says, Hashem, please, if I found favor in your eyes, just wait a minute, I want to go bring them into the house. So there are two ways to learn that pasuk. Either that the word is my master, Adoni, my master, one of the three barefoot Bedouin out there, or it means Hashem. So the Rambam is saying that Aleph Dalet Nun Yud over there is Kodesh. Make no mistake, it's a holy name of God. It has to be written with intent for the name of God. All right. Kol Hashemus Hamudin Belot. There are all sorts of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yuds that are written by Lot. All of them are Chol. All of them are not sacred. They do not refer to God. They refer to the angels. He's talking to the angels who've come to visit. It's not God. Chutz Mizeh, except one place, Vayomer Lot Aleihem. Alma Hashem. Lot said to them, Alma Hashem, and he really was referring to God. God, please, please, oh God. He may not matzo avdacha chen, your servant has found favor, and therefore I beg of you, l'hachayot et nafshi, to keep me alive. Kol Hashemot hamudim b'givat binyamin kodesh. It's another part of Tanakh. Where the names of God in Givat Binyamin are Kodesh, Kol Hashemus Hamudim Benicha Achol. These are both at the end of Sefer Shoftim, when it talks about God by Micha. Micha was the one who had an idol, Pesel Micha, so it's called Kol Hashemus Hamudim Benovos by Novot HaYisraeli, it's Kodesh. Now the Rambam comes to the point. Kol Shlomo Ha'omor B'Shir Hashirim Kodesh. Every time it says Shlomo B'Shir Hashirim, it's Kodesh. It's as though it says Yud Kei Vav Kei. The sofer who writes it has to have in mind that this is a holy name of God. You know where the Rambam is taking us? And this is how the Rav is going to understand it. The Soloveitcher is going to understand it. There's no allegory. There's no pshuto shel mikra. Pshuto shel mikra. The simple meaning of the text, we're talking about shel ha-melech. Oh, and then there's an allegorical interpretation that means God. No. When it says Shlomo, it means God. That name is a holy name. You can't erase it.
Shlomo.
Wherever it says Shlomo in Shir HaShirim, it refers to God, not the King Shlomo. Called Shlomo Olav Shir HaShirim Kodesh. Vareyu Kishar HaKinuyim. It is like all of the other names of God. Chutz Mizeh, except one. There's one Shlomo in Shir HaShirim that is not Kodesh. It's called Ha'elof Lecha Shlomo. We'll get to that pasuk one of these days. It's talking over there indeed about the marriage. The marriage of the Shlomo, and that there are all sorts of thousands of people around him. Kol Malchayo Ha'omer B'Daniel Chol in Sefer Daniel, where it says Malchayo the king, it's Chol, it's not Kodesh. Chutz Mizeh, except in one place it says Ant Malko Melech Malchaya, you King of all kings. Vahareyu Kishara Kinuim, it's like all of the other names of God. Alright. So now once we have established this, so we know from one halach and the Rama, we know that the whole, all of Shir HaShirim is talking about the love for God and the love of God for the Jewish people. Wherever it says Shlomo, that means that Megillat Shir HaShirim is not like Megillat Esther. In Megillat Esther, there is no word in Megillat Esther that means God that is holy. We have to find God in there. We have to seek God. In Shir HaShirim, He is there. So it's holy. The Chov in this footnote over there gives a very fascinating example. He says that you can't read Shir HaShirim in the simple meaning of the text. There is no simple meaning of the text. There's only the profound allegorical meaning. And he gives a beautiful example. Ayin tachat ayin. The Torah says an eye for an eye. Are there two meanings to eye for an eye? Does eye for an eye mean, yeah, eye for an eye? Or it means you pay the value of an eye for an eye. There are no two meanings. Ayin tachat ayin, shen tachat shen, yad tachat yad, regel tachat, has only one meaning. The value of an eye for an eye. There is no conceivable, possible way at all to learn pshuto shel mikra. It says, yeah, you know, an eye for an eye. So too, Shir HaShirim cannot be understood in any way except for the allegory. The allegory is the real meaning of Shir HaShirim. It's not like some kind of a love story that, yeah, there's a love story and now we interpret it that way. No, the interpretation is the story. There is no other story. You know what? It looks a little formidable, that footnote. You know what? Let's go on a little journey. No, let's be brave, bold. Just follow me. And this is a footnote. A footnote at the end of a powerful philosophical essay called Ubikashten Mishon. And you will seek God out from there. HaTorah Kodesh Kedoshim, the description, Holy of Holies, Asher bo mishtamsha ha-mishnah v'mesechet yadayim. It's a mishnah in Mesechet Yadayim that the mishnah refers to Shir HaShirim as Kodesh Kedoshim. And there he has the quote from the mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Chas v'shalom, God forbid, lo nechlak Adam Yisrael al Shir HaShirim, Shein kol olam kulo kedai kiyom, Shenitim bo Shir HaShirim v'yisrael. There was somebody in the mishnah that wanted to say that maybe Shir HaShirim is not Kodesh. Rabbi Akiva says, God forbid, there never was a disagreement amongst the scholars of Israel about Shir HaShirim. The whole world was worth only for the writing of Shir HaShirim, the day that Shir HaShirim was given to the Jewish people. Ki Kol HaShirim Kodesh, it is Rabbi Akiva who says, all of the songs are holy to Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kedoshim. Mechuvan Papi Simiyuto Elokit HaMetu'eret Bo, that means, he is saying, that its intent is the divine understanding of the Megillah. Beram Mevatei Toazeh Ikram Ilchasim. He says, this statement that it's Kodesh Kodoshim is expressing a halachic principle. And the halachic principle is Megillah zu lo nitna litparesh kipshita. This Megillah cannot be explained in the simple terms of the text. Can't be. There is no such thing. It's all the allegory. V'chol ha-Torah kula. In all the rest of Torah, mutolamu lefaresh et ha-psukim ben kemed rasham ben kepshuta. All the other psukim in Torah, nearly, you can explain them either according to the simple meaning or according to the homiletic midrashic meaning. Pshuto shel mikra, classic brisk. Pshuto shel mikra, the simple meaning of a text is a chetz shel Torah. That is Torah, all over except one place. Shir HaShirim. The Shir HaShirim nitma'et ha-pshat ha-miluli mechalot shem Torah. Is this brisker terminology? In Shir HaShirim, the halacha is saying that Shir HaShirim is removed from pshuto shel mikra, the simple meaning of the text. The simple meaning of the text is a chilul, a desecration of the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the Holy of Holies, that is Shir HaShirim. And therefore he goes on to say, Kol HaMevayeh Megillah Zu, anybody who explains this Megillah Pipshutam Shal HaKsuhim, according to the simple meaning of the words, B'yachas La'ahava B'sachit, relating to love of flesh and blood, Mechalel Kiddushatah, this desecrates the holiness of Shir HaShirim, V'kofer V'Torah Sheba'al Peh, and he has rejected Torah Sheba'al Peh, because Torah Sheba'al Peh says that it's Kodesh Kodoshim. Torah Sheba'al Peh says that this is the story of God and Israel's love for one another. That's the only meaning that the pasuk has. It has no other meaning. All right, and then the Rambam is going to go on and say that, well, there are certain psukim in Torah about which there never was disagreement. For example, Pri Eitz Hadar, on the first day of Sukkot, you're supposed to take Pri Eitz Hadar. There was never a doubt in anybody's mind what that Pri Eitz Hadar is. It was an Esrig, it is an Esrig, it will continue to be an Esrig. And then he also brings the example, of course, of Ayin Takat Ayin. Ayin Takat Ayin. There are certain psukim that simply cannot mean what the simple words mean. Because Pri Eitz Hadar would mean the fruit of any beautiful tree. The fruit of any beautiful tree. People can come into shul on the first day at Sukkot, I don't know, with oranges, with apples, with kiwis, if raised as a pre-Eitz Hadar. No. Never was there any kind of a disagreement of that sort. It was always an Esrig, and always will be an Esrig. So the Chav is saying, there is no pshutam shel mikra in Shir HaShirim. Like an eye for an eye. All right. Okay, now we got that done. Now, we're going back. Now we're going to page one. Everybody and anybody who deals with Shir HaShirim always begins with Rashi's introduction. Now, I really don't know of any other sefer that Rashi wrote an introduction to the Sefer. I gave a shiur earlier this year where I tried to turn the first Rashi in Chumash into some kind of an introduction to an understanding of all of Torah. It was not a bad shiur, right? But I'm interpreting the first Rashi in Chumash as being Rashi's introduction to his commentary. Here Rashi did indeed write an introduction. There's an English translation of most of it, or the gist of it down there, but you have to learn from this Rashi. And anybody who's dealt with it, Sifro Shel Yehuda Felitz has the Perush Rashi over there. The Das Mikra of the Mosad Harav Kook has Rashi at the top of the page, and anything else is down at the bottom. Everything begins and ends with Rashi. And watch, Rashi can be very fascinating. You know why Rashi can be fascinating? Rashi is the one who throughout Torah says, Ani lo basi elo lefarish pshuto shemigra. I am the one who comes to explain the simple meaning of the text. Rashi is going to make an about face over here, and I think that's why he had to write the introduction, in addition to the fact that he's going to give us an outline of all of Shir HaShirim. It's worthwhile going through this and knowing it. There it begins, Achaz Diber Elokim Shtayim Zu Shamati. I'll tell you at what point the English translation begins. Rashi begins by saying, God said one thing, I heard two. Mikro Echod Yotze L'Kamotam, and the Gemara learns from this that there's one pasuk, and one pasuk has many meanings. Mikra Echad Yotzei L'Kamotami. Rashi says this very often. There's a Gemara that says Shidin Panam Torah. There are 70 approaches to Torah. A pasuk can be understood in more than one way. V'sof Davar Ein Lecha Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto Umashmo. The end is, of course, regardless of all the meanings that a pasuk has, the end is Ein Mikra Yotzei De Pshuto Mashmo. A pasuk has its simple textual meaning. Even though, of course, the Nevi'im spoke either in parables or allegories, so you know, it can be a bit difficult to understand the text, but he still says we have a responsibility to see how the psukim flow in order one after another. There has to be some kind of an inner structure. Kamosh hamakros sedudim zeh hazeh, as the psukim are organized one after another. V'ro'isim ha'sefer hazeh tamim in the shei agodan. I saw many different medrashim about this sefer Shir HaShirim, and there's tremendous amount of medrash on it. Yes, so in kol sefer hazeh b'medrash echon, there are those who organize the sefer according to one understanding. V'yesh mefuzorim b'kama medrash echon, and there are other interpretations that are spread out in different medrashim. V'yesh mikrot levadam, and then there are psukim that sort of have a meaning of their own, but they're not connected with the pasuk before and the pasuk after. Rashi will not accept that. And you can't figure out where the order of this pasuk appears. It doesn't flow. I said to myself, I decided that what I was going to do is that I was going to accept the understanding of the pasuk and to explain it al sidram in order. The psukim have to go in order. V'hamed rashos mirab seinu, and the medrash of our rabbis, ekva ein medrash medrash, I will establish each medrash in this place. Ish b'mekomo, each one in this place. For Omer Ani. Here begins, this, from here on and further, the English translation fits to this. For Omer Ani, Rashi says, I say the following. Shirosh Shlomo Barak HaKodesh, Shlomo HaMelech saw, through the Holy Spirit, Shasidim Yisrael Liglod Golah Har Golah, that Israel is going to go into exile after exile. Churban Achav Churban, there will be one destruction following another destruction. Ula it onen b'kavud zeh al kvodam hadshon. And that they are going to lament when they find themselves in Golos, and they're going to be looking back to their original glory, the glory of being with God in the desert, being with God in Eretz Yisrael, Beth Hamikdash. They are going to look back and they're going to lament about their first honor, the Lizkor Chibor Rishona. They're going to remember that first great burst of love from God to the Jewish people, Asher Hoyim Shkul Alo Mikol Ha'amim, when we were His treasure from all amongst all of the people of the world, when He brought us to Sinai, and to us alone, He appeared and gave us Torah. And you know what we're going to say when we find ourselves in those difficult periods of time, so distant from God? You know what we're going to say? El Chovo Shuva El Ishi Adishem. I want to go back to my first husband. He totally owes me also, because it was better for me then than it is now. The Jewish people are going to remember the kindness of God, that Malu Masher Malu, and the sins that they sinned against Him, they're betraying Him. They're going to remember all the great good that God has promised to the Jewish people at the end of days. The Yasat Sefer Hazeh Meruah HaKodesh Shlomo HaMelech established this book with the Holy Spirit. The Lishon, the terminology that he uses is Isha Tzerura Al Menut Chayot, a woman who's caught up being a living widow. A living widow means that her husband is alive, but they're distant from one another. He cannot use the term divorce, because the Navi says, Eze Sefer Krisus, Yishayahu says, when did I even give a get to the Jewish people? We are distant from God, but it's like a widow whose husband is alive. Mishtokeket al bala, mitrapeket al dodo. She yearns for her husband. She looks forward to her beloved. Maskeret avat nudel. She reminds herself of that early love of youth, her love for him. Umodal pisha, and she admits that she made mistakes. She sinned. And you know what? The other side is also true. Av doda, the lover. Av doda tsarlo bitzarasa. He feels great pain in her pain, and that's going to be a very significant theme in Shir HaShirim, similar to the idea that expressed in the Gemara that says Kol Makom Shegolu, wherever Jews went into exile, Gol Soshkino Imayim, the divine presence is there with them, and when they come back, God comes back with them. This is a theme, in fact, that begins in Torah and continues through the Nevi'im, and that's one of the units. One year will be dedicated in the Yetzir Shem to them. So he's also in great pain. Umazkir Chazdei Nureha. And he remembers the great things that she did in her youth, as Rashi is sort of bringing us to the famous pasuk, Zachartu Lach, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Zachartu Lach Chesed Nureyeh, Ahavat Kirulotayeh. I remember the kindness of the youth, the love of our marriage, when you followed me into the desert, into a land that was not planted. The Chishron Pa'aleh, he remembers the great talent of her performance of mitzvahs, because of what they did, he became bound up with her in such mighty love. Laudia, and you know what he wants to tell her? Kilo mi libo ina. It is not from his heart that the pain has been caused to her. Velo shiluchel shiluchin. The fact that he sent them out into exile is not like sending her away forever. Ki odhi ishto, she is still his wife, vuhu isha, and he is her husband, vuhu atid mashuv eleha, and he's going to return to her. That's the story. That's the story. There can be a lot of details in this story. And we have a lot of powerful, powerful sentences in the story. But this is the way Rashi sees it. There are other major mafarshim on Shir HaShirim. There's an unbelievable parish of the Malbim. There's a great parish of the Hamikdava. There are others. But we're going to stick to Rashi. Rashi is most powerful of them all. Yes?
This is a response to Christian claims that they replaced us.
That's not bad. No, I like that. She says that this is a response to Christian claims that they replaced us, and Shir HaShirim is saying that the love of God for the Jewish people is eternal, and that he osid lashuv eileha, he is going to return to her. Alright? So you know what? After 3 weeks already, Daf Ben Len and Shir HaShirim, even though our first year we learned about 10 psukim in Shir HaShirim. Ani Shein of Leapy Air, Kol Dodi Gofei, do you remember? Alright, so don't think that I didn't learn any psukim. And we learned those great 10 psukim as they were understood by Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi in the Kuzari, and by Rav Soloveitchik in his great, powerful essay, Kol Dodi Gofei. So we've already learned psukim in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo, first pasuk, the Song of Songs, written by Shlomo. Down at the bottom, Rashi. Shana Rabu Tengizal. We're not going to learn all the Rashis, but some of them have to be learned. Shana Rabu Tengizal, our rabbis of blessed memory learned Kol Shlomo Ve'amudim B'shir HaShirim Kodesh. This you already know. We learned Halach in the Rambam. Rashi says it. Every time it says Shlomo in Shir HaShirim, it's holy. And the meaning of Shlomo is Melech Shehashalom Shelo. The king, that peace is his. I mean, I have a feeling what it means is that anybody who thinks that they're going to make peace without God is making a terrible mistake. Oseh Shalom bin Ramav. Who? Yaseh Shalom Aleinu. The one who makes peace above, he will make peace below. Or better, Hashem owes Liamo Yitain. God will give his people strength. Hashem Yivareh, God will bless his people with peace. By the way, there will be no peace unless the Jewish people are strong. We're not strong, there's no peace. That wasn't a political comment. That was a puzzle. That was a puzzle. Alright? Shishu, Rashi goes on to say, Shishu, I'll call Hashirim the song that is greater than all the songs Hashem al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest song that was said to God from His community. May Eif Adatova Amot Knesset Yisrael, from His people, Knesset Yisrael. Om Rabbi Akiva, Lo Hoya Olam Kedai, next column, Kiyom Shenita Bo Shir HaShirim Yisrael, Shekol HaTzuvim Kodesh, Yishir HaShirim Kodesh Kodoshim. This is a Mishnah. We learned the Mishnah in the words of Rav. All the songs are Kodesh, Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodoshim. Omar Rabbi Lozman Azariah. Rabbi Lozman Azariah said, L'ma Adav Adomu, what is this comparable to? L'melech Shemak Al-Soch Hidim, a king who took a bushel, a measure of grain, and he gave them lenachtom to a baker, and he told them, "Hotzeli kach v'kach solos, I want you to take so much fine flour out of this. Kach v'kach suvin, so much and so much chaff or bran. Kach v'kach mursin, in other words, going from the higher to the lower. Solos is the finest of the flour. And then there's also a bran, and there's chaff. The solisoli mitocha, and make for me Gluska achas, one beautiful cake, menuka umu'ula, so carefully seized and clean. Kach korak suvin kodesh, all of the writings, the holy writings are holy. Yishir HaShirim kodesh kodoshim, Yishir HaShirim is the holy of holies. Shekulo yidas shamayim v'kibul o malkusa. You hear what Rashi is saying? There is no love story here. There is no love story. It is all a song of Yirat Shemayim, fear of God, and kibul ol malchuto, accepting the yoke of his kingdom. Yishakeni, the pasuk, I have the Rashi on one page, but the pasuk is on the other, and this gives you an entree into it. The pasuk is Yishakeni minishikos piu, let him kiss me from the kisses of his mouth. Ki tovim daldecha miyoyin, because your love is better to me than wine. In fact, Rashi on the first page, we'll learn this Rashi, and then we'll close for today. On page 1, the Rashi is down at the bottom of page 1. Yishakeni minishikos piu, ze ashir omedes befiah begaluso ubaalmunusa. Here you see Rashi beginning to interpret it as he outlined in his introduction. This song is being said by her with her mouth, begaluta, while she's in exile, ubaalmunita, and when she's like a widow. Miiten, she is saying, Yishakeni minishikos piu is, she's yearning and she's longing. If only he would kiss me. If miyitein v'yishakeni hamelach Shlomo, if only King Shlomo would kiss me minishikos piu, from the kisses of his mouth, kamo me'oz, as from before. Now remember, of course, Rashi has already told us when it says Shlomo hamelach, it means God. We're not talking about the king of flesh and blood, quote Shlomo. Rashi says, there are places that you kiss on the hand or on the shoulder. I desire v'shokeket, and I long l'yot noheg imi k'min hagen shon, that he should conduct himself with me as he did at the very beginning. K'chosen el kala, like a chosen to his kala, peh el peh, where they kiss on the mouth. Tovin lido decha, because your love is better to me, mikol mishtayayin, from any great party of wine, and mikol oneg v'simcha, from any delight and joy. U'lishon ivriu, in Hebrew, the term liot kol studas oneg v'simcha nikres hashem ayayin. Now, it's not saying that your love for me is better to me than wine, and understand it as a bottle of wine. Wine is a term that has a larger meaning, and the meaning of wine means a joyous, festive, happy occasion. So your love is greater to me than that. Kinyan Shenema, El Beit Mishtei Hayayin, they came to the party of Achashverosh. Bashir, or another person, Bashir lo yishtu yayim, v'hoyokinor nevel v'tov v'cholil v'yayim yishteyim. The term yayim always describes a great festive and joyous event. Zeu v'yur mashmo. That's the textual meaning of the words. That's the textual meaning. V'nem adum v'mashalo. And here, Rashi says, the allegory. Nema dugma shalo, al shem shenosam lahem toroso, v'diber imayim panen oponim. Do you know what the kiss of the mouth is? God spoke to us face to face. And he gave us his Torah. He gave us his Torah. V'diber imayim panen v'otam dodin, that act of great love between the two of us, of Har Sinai, they are still sweeter mikol shashua, from any joyous event, umuftachim meito, and we are promised by him lofia od aleihem, he promised us that he will appear to us again, levaer lehem minishikos piu, means that he will one day explain to us all the secrets of Torah. Leviathan, so tamel, the secrets of its meaning, who misstarts, and whatever is hidden in Torah, umichalim panad, and we are begging him, lekayen dvaro, we're begging of him, fulfill that which you said, bring us back, teach us Torah again. And then he says, the zeh, that's what it means when it says Yishakeni minishikos piu, he shall kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Don't think we're talking about physical kisses. We're talking about a relationship of peh el peh, panim el panim, God communicating with us. The moment of greatest joy, which was when God appeared for one time on the face of this earth to his people at Sinai. That's what we are talking about over here. And then Rashi is going to take us step by step. First chapter is going to be, first and second chapters are really going to be talking about the relationship with God and Jewish people in Egypt. And then he's going to keep going. He's going to keep going through Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni. It's going to be a history of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. Its ups and its downs, its peaks and its valleys. They're going to be very, very fascinating things. I just hope I will succeed in getting you excited. I would suggest that it would be a very, very good idea if you can come. Find someplace in the house a Shir HaShirim with Rashi. You should have it. In addition to that, I suggest also that either before candle lighting, or maybe as I say here in Yerushalayim, right after candle lighting, say Shir HaShirim. Alright? Okay, you can do whatever you want. If you want to leave it, I'll make sure that there are copies for the next week or two. Whatever you want to do. But I need some of them now for the next year.